Good evening, everybody. It's good to see everyone back out this evening. It's been a beautiful day. We have a wonderful week to look forward to. I'm looking forward to the meeting starting Wednesday, and hopefully our efforts will bring forth fruit, and we will have visitors, and we could set up some Bible studies with them and keep spreading God's Word. I want to start this evening John 18:37, and I'm going to take a break this evening from the series on parables and talk about what is truth. And I think with the events that have gone on the last week, it's timely that we consider what is truth. John 18:37, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And what did Pilate ask then? Pilate said unto him, What is truth? That has been the question since the beginning of time. It was the question during Christ's time. And as I said, that has been in the news this last week. What is truth? Who is telling truth? Who is not? So I want to look at a couple of things that help us to see why we have gotten away from the truth. One of the philosophies that is out there is called postmodernism. Before we talk about postmodernism, we need to talk about what modernism is. And modernism is a philosophy, it's a religion that developed in the 19th, 20th century around modern things that were happening. And men started believing we need to get away from the traditional way of thinking and doing things and think more modernly. So the movement came about modernism. Well, we have gone so far past that, we are into postmodernism now. Postmodernism is a theory that involves a radical reappraisal of modern assumptions about culture, identity, history, or language. So whatever people used to think about something, they have radically different views now. About culture, about identity. This idea of gender changing from one gender to another, history, rewriting history. Postmodernism is difficult to define because to define it would violate the postmodernist premise that no definite terms, boundaries, or absolute truth exists. So they are saying you cannot know for certain about anything. Why do they say that? Because they want to keep changing the boundaries, changing the definitions of things. Postmodernists are typically atheistic or agnostic. They don't believe in God. Some prefer to follow Eastern religion, thoughts, and practices. Many are naturalists, including humanitarians, environmentalists, and philosophers. Now, these names, titles go together. A naturalist. Naturalist, that doesn't sound too bad if somebody says, I like nature. But what is a naturalist? An environmentalist. That doesn't sound too bad either. You know, I'm concerned about the environment. But naturalist and environmentalist, they look at nature apart from God. So they look at this creation and they say, this is a wonderful creation, but God didn't have anything to do with it. It just happened by evolution. The same with environmentalists, thinking that we are in control of things that are going on instead of God being in control. So they challenge the core religious beliefs of the Western world, and they seek change for a new age of liberty, and they think about, you hear this term so often, a global community. We're just one big family. We're one big family if we're in Christ, but we aren't one big family as the way these postmodernists think. So is this belief, is this philosophy, is this religion right or wrong? So they do not attempt to refine their thoughts about what is right or wrong. They won't say this is right or this is wrong, what's true or false or good or evil. They won't do that because they believe there is no such thing as absolute truth. A postmodernist views the world outside of themselves as being an error. So they just say, what I think up here is true, what I think is true, and everything else, that's up to you. So right or wrong. So they believe there is no authority to define truth or impose upon others the right of moral right and wrong. If you say it's wrong to kill a baby, they say, well, you can't impose that on me. That's your belief. And you see this happening over and over. Their self-rationalization of the universe and the world around them pits themselves against divine revelation. So when they take this world view, this natural view that everything just happened by evolution, happened without God, then that puts those thinkers, those people that believe at that, at the extreme opposite end of God, of divine revelation. They do not recognize divine revelation. They believe in naturalism and evolution. And just even the terms they use, naturalism. Well, how can you be against naturalism? Well, naturalism, in their way of thinking, excludes God. And we know from God's word that God was the one that created the heavens and the earth. So what is truth? What is knowledge? Wisdom and knowledge are praised throughout God's word. Proverbs 2, 1 through 9 talks about apply your heart to understanding. Why would we apply our heart to understanding if we can't understand something? Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth, come knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 2, 5, and 6. There is truth. There is wisdom. There is understanding. It comes from God, not from man. Scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Proverbs 1, 22. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians 5, 17. Who are the people that are unwise? It's the people that do not open the Bible and read it and accept it. So what is truth? And again, people say that the truth is not absolute. It keeps changing. This may have been wrong back at this time, but it's not wrong today. We can do whatever we want. Well, truth is not relative. Truth is absolute. 2 + 2 = 4 back in the Garden of Eden. 2 + 2 = 4 today. And 2 + 2 = 4 when Christ returns and this earth is destroyed. Truth is not relative, it is absolute. And one of the problems we face today is because we have children growing up in a school system that think that truth is relative. Whatever we say truth is truth. Truth is self-sufficient. That means truth can stand on itself. It's complete and free of imperfection. Philosophy is not truth. And let's turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And I'll start reading at verse 1. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches, to the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. So we put our faith in Christ because that is where truth is. And he talks about understanding the knowledge of the mystery of God. The knowledge of the mystery of God is something that is not mysterious and we cannot understand. That mystery just simply means that it was not revealed until the time of Christ. When Christ was revealed, it was no longer a mystery. And then the Jews and the Gentiles could be made one in Christ. And that is what we are to believe in. And he warns them. He warns them. And the warning is for us today in verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Knowledge of divine truth is the vehicle of life, godliness, and precious promises. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4. Peter says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So Peter says that according to his divine power, God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He has given us all truth. So with truth, we can understand that truth is it's absolute and it's absolutely revealed. Truth has been made known by revelation, Ephesians 3, 1 through 5. Truth is revealed in Jesus Christ. We are guided into all truth, John 16, 13. God revealed his plans and purposes through his Spirit to the apostles, 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. John 16, 13, when we were studying the Gospel of John, what did Jesus tell them the Spirit would do? The Spirit would guide them into all truth. All truth. So we have all truth today. So truth is absolutely revealed to us. We don't have to wonder if we are missing some truth. It's absolutely been revealed to us. It is absolutely understandable. Truth is not hidden and inaccessible. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 30, Deuteronomy 30 and verse 11. For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far from you. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, the word is very near us. We don't have to go searching the other side of the world or across the sea or up into heavens. God's word is truth, and it is very near us. See, we are commanded to understand it. Truth is in a word that you can know and live. John 8:31-32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You know the truth and abide in the Father and the Son. 1 John 2:21-24-27. So truth is absolutely understandable. People can't say, well, I can't understand that it's wrong to do this or that. We can understand. We can understand. By the very nature of truth, we can understand. Absolute truth is still available. Men will distort truth. Men will reject truth. But that does not put away the fact that truth still exists and is available. Truth is not dead. The devil has convinced so many in the world that there is no absolute truth. And every year, every month, every week, almost every day, you see people come up with new ideas that are just so absolutely ridiculous. The devil has convinced the world that there is no absolute truth, that it keeps changing. Friends, if it keeps changing, we would have no hope at all. You think about the people in the denominations. They have no hope at all if they keep getting a revelation. How do they know they have the most recent revelation? How do they know that they can understand something if it keeps changing? Christians are being convinced to compromise their convictions toward the truth. You see that with the split back the beginning of the church, elevating one elder above the other elders, the progression of that. You see the formation of the Catholic Church. They're convinced to compromise their convictions for truth. You see in the 1800s, another huge split in the brotherhood in the Churches of Christ with the American Christian Missionary Society and all the things that developed from that. Why is that? Because people got away from the truth. They looked at things a little bit differently, and then a little bit more, and then a little bit more, and a little bit more. But truth is absolute. In Christ, we have the full assurance of understanding and all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2:2-3. Consider Acts 2:22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. So Peter, when he was preaching to the Jews on the day of Pentecost, he appealed to Jesus that Jesus was the Son of God. Was that true? Absolutely, it was true. What's his proof that this was true? He says, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God. God put his stamp of approval on him by miracles, by wonders, and by signs. So what does miracles show? The miracles showed that he was divinity, that he was from God, that he could work these things that he did, that he had power over everything. Wonders. Are wonders different than miracles? Well, wonders talks about what it created in those that observed. They would see these miracles performed and they would wonder, can anybody do this that's not from God? They caused belief. And then signs. Were signs something different? Signs, you think about signified. This is a sign that this is true. Jesus was the Son of God. This is a truth. He was attested by God by miracles, wonders, and signs. which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. That truth has been established. When Jesus spoke, his words were truth. We have the truth today. He was established by this. What is truth? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth is the words of Christ. It's the words of Christ. John 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." So, true or false? Do you have to be born again today? That is true. Absolutely true. Absolutely, you can't get around it. But what do people do? What do the modernists, the postmodernists say? Oh, you don't have to be baptized. You can be saved any way you want to. They say, you don't have to be saved. There isn't even a God. The naturalists will say, you don't have to be saved because when you die, this life is over and you'll just go back to dust and that's the end of things. And there are religious people that believe that. Why is it? Because we have gotten away from truth. We have gotten away from truth. And when you stop and consider all the evidence that God has given us, that Christ has given us, that we can put our faith in the Word, that it is true. Going back to Acts chapter 2, and Peter in his sermon, that this man was attested to you by God, by miracles, wonders, and signs. How did Peter really... No, I mean, besides this is enough proof right here. But did Peter see Jesus go up to heaven where God is? He saw him go up in the clouds. Did Peter know that he really reached heaven? Could he see that with his eyes? He couldn't see that with his eyes. How did Peter know that Jesus went to heaven where God dwells? We know that he knew that because when Peter and the other disciples were with Jesus, he said, "I must go away, and when I go, I will send the Comforter. I will send the Holy Spirit." And what happened in Acts 2? Peter knew that Christ had reached heaven because the Holy Spirit had been poured out on them. There's just evidence upon evidence upon evidence of who Christ is and what he said was truth. We must be born again. What is truth? Truth is absolute. Truth absolutely exists. Truth is absolutely revealed. It's not something that comes to us in the middle of the night or some small voice. Truth is revealed. How is it revealed? It is revealed by the Holy Spirit to the apostles that wrote it down so that we have the truth here today. Truth is understandable. Again, Paul said that when ye read, ye may understand. Truth is still available. Truth hasn't changed, so we still have it. Truth is not dead. It is alive. Truth is going to judge us on the day of judgment. In one word, what is truth? Jesus. Jesus is truth. In John 14:16, one of the passages we didn't turn to, what did Jesus say? "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is truth. And if we follow the truth of Jesus, the truth will set us free. And how do we do that? Jesus said, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You must be born again. Friends, truth is plain. It is absolute. It's not going to change. There are going to be people until this world comes to an end that are going to try to change the truth. The truth doesn't change. If we wonder, what is the truth? How do we find religious truth? God has revealed it to us. We have to investigate it. We look at the evidence that is in the Bible, and we will come to an understanding of what the truth is. If there's anybody here this evening that has come to a realization that they have sin in their life, they need to correct that. Whatever your condition this evening, if we can assist you in some way with your spiritual needs, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.